Amen. All right, that's a little appetizer. Back to John chapter 6. I'm not going to finish what I started this morning. We're going to do a little something different. Sometimes I like to get in a passage and pull a few different things out of it. So I want to give you a little truth. It was, I was studying these other passages. God brought this back to my mind and feel like it's where the Lord have us to be. John chapter 6, verse 66. When you find that, if you'll stand in honor of the Word of God, we'll read just a few verses tonight. Hope that we can be a help and encouragement to you just to go on a little longer. I'd hate to give up and throw in the towel today and a trumpet sound in the morning. I'd hate to be caught out in sin after to live for Jesus all these years. Don't throw in the towel, keep going for the Lord. Verse number 66, we know the background. I preached on this morning. Jesus had preached that message on the bread of life, and they couldn't get a grasp on it because they were listening to the physical. We're not listening to the spiritual. And they kind of got blown out on the truth. And the Bible says here, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, I love these words. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Of the living God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. God, even as I read those words, God, how my heart stirred within me. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for the choir singing. Thank you for these good songs we've heard. I'm glad you're in control. God, I'm glad that you're always right. I'm glad you've got everything planned out. Nothing's going to sneak up on you or nothing's going to thwart your plans. God, you were on the throne when this thing came into being, and you're going to be on the throne in the end, and you're in control. And I bless and exalt your name. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we turn to your word tonight. May our minds be in tune. I know that no doubt folks have things on their minds that have got to get done next week, and school and work and everything else, and some folks just a little fatigued on this Sunday evening. But I pray, God, for just a little while, you'd empower us, God. You'd open our hearts to your word. You'd open our minds. And God, you'd speak to our hearts. You know the condition and the need of each individual. I pray, God, that something to be said that help those that are downtrodden. God, that encourage your people. And again, God, if there's one here that's not saved, God, you'd reveal that to them for sure. And God, that they'd run to you for saving grace. Lord, I thank you for touching the preacher, God, and allow him to go home from the hospital today. Pray, God, you'd continue to touch his body and lift him. God, touch the Stone family. God, these others that are sick and other folks in the church that are facing surgery soon, pray you'd help them. God, touch our church. God, I pray that Christ would be exalted in everything that's said and done tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. What a powerful statement. Jesus asked him here, will ye also go away? Why did he ask this? I've already mentioned and alluded to what has just gone on in this passage of Scripture, but look in verse number 66, just at a few words I want to bring to your attention. Why did he ask this? Look at the word many. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. That word many kind of brings to my mind those verses in Matthew chapter 7 where the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, there's that word, there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I think of that word many, and I think of the course of this world. There are many that are walking opposite of God. There are many that are walking apart from God. But I want to remind you, never, never let the multitude be the deciding factor in your mind for what's right. Don't ever look and say, well, everybody's doing it, it must be okay. I'm reminded in Exodus chapter 23 where God warned Israel that thou shalt shalt not follow the multitude to do evil. It is a narrow road. There are few that are on that road. So really, if you want to be safe, you're probably better off following the few. But see, you don't even have to guess. We've got a guide. Amen. Follow God's word. Follow God's truth. Don't be conformed to what this world is doing. But then I think that many walked away. But who was it that was walking away? The Bible says it was disciples. Now it was not the 12 that he had called, but it was, the word disciple means a student or a pupil. This was people that at some extent or fashion had walked with Christ, had sat with him. They had been there when he had preached. That even in this chapter, they had seen him feed the multitudes. They weren't aware of what happened in the storm, what happened with the disciples, but they still couldn't figure out how Jesus had got to the other side of the lake. There was one boat, sent the disciples. He was on the other side and no boat. They couldn't figure that out. They knew there was something about him. They'd heard the teaching on the bread of life. I mean, man, they heard the gospel from the lips of the Son of God. I mean, no clearer, no more powerful presentation could they ever hear. But the Bible says that they walk no more with him. These that had seen these things and other things. I know you had the inner circle of the disciples, but there was other people that were following. There was other people that were seeing that were maybe vaguely interested. But the Bible says they made a decision. They walked no more with him. Those sad words, they walked away. And I want to look at this tonight and preach just for a little while on will ye also go away. Now, I want to remind you, it seems like as I look back over my life, and I'm no expert, but I've been in church a while. I have been around in church. I've said this before. I literally cut my teeth. I teethed on the back of an old pew, on that old red back church hymnal. I can still tell you a lot. I know more page numbers in that songbook than the ones we're using now. I just can't quite reboot and recompute what that is. And I've been in church. I've worked in ministry. I've been in Christian school. And the sad thing is, as I look back, I remember after my dad died, we went to that church in Newland, and I went in there and I was going into that 8-9 year old primary Sunday school class, and there was a male teacher, and he was so nice to me. He walked me in the room and he was good to me, and he led me into the junior church, and they were nice to me in junior church, and those faces begin to flash into my mind, those that tried to minister to me, those that were riding those buses and going out picking up kids and taking them to church. And now I look back and they're divorced and they're home. Homes are falling apart and they're out of church. I can begin to point out individuals. I mean, my story. My dad died when I was little. So as a young man, any man that would give me attention, man, I would hook up and I'd follow him. And I remember a Christian school principal I had. He'd take me to make ministry visits. He'd just pick me up and take it. I ate every bit of it up. He's not in the ministry now. I remember the night that I preached my first message. There was three of us that stood on the platform that night and we preached. I'm the only one that's still in. I'm not better than that. I'm just telling you, it's a common thing. You can probably look around. It breaks my heart. You can look around you tonight and you can look at people, think of somebody you sung beside, somebody you sat beside in church, and they're not out in the ministry. Then they're out. And I want to tell you, that's the Bible says, I believe in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The devil's after you. He wants to destroy you. He would love nothing better than to turn your life into an illustration of a failure. The devil, I've preached this before, how the devil would love to make you a trophy on his cabinet, whether you're an adult or whether you're a child. He'd love to see you fall into sin and lose your purity, lose your marriage, just destroy this church and make a mockery of it. That's how he operates and what he'd like to do. And it's a sad thing, but I ask this question. Will you also go away? I don't want to go down that road. I want to stick with the old highway. I want to just go on with God like the song said. But let's take just a moment. Let's look at some of these. Let's look, number one, at those who walked away. It echoes many. Many went back and walked with them no more. These abandoned Christ. Let's just ask tonight and look in our text, why did they leave? Why in the world Would anybody walk away from Jesus? I think sometimes in Mark 5, when Jesus had come through and he had healed that madman of Gadara and brought the devils out, they looked at Jesus and wanted him to go away. That's perplexing to me. Why does anybody want to part ways with Jesus? Why? I hear these, I believe it was because of conflicts in their life. Now, I think about this. Some had conflict with what I'll call forces. I've already said that the devil opposes what you do for Christ. The Bible already says that he walks about as a roaring lion. The Bible says he's our adversary. He is our enemy. He is not some little cute little red creature with pointy ears and a little pointed tail and a pitchfork that looks like something you'd see in a cartoon. I want to tell you, he's that beautiful woman, he's that handsome man, he's that drug, he's that pill bottle. I'm not just spiritualizing him. I want you to know he's real. He's real. He was a being that was cast out of heaven, and his ultimate goal in life is to break the heart of God, destroy your life, and if you're not saved, drag you off into the pit of hell. But the day you started serving God, you stepped into a battle. We are in a wrestling match. We wrestle not with each other. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And it goes on to describe those forces of evil. But sometimes people, they get in that fight, they just can't handle the battle, they can't handle the stress, and they turn around and they walk away. I guess you'd call that a deserter. I don't know. But some battle with flesh. In chapter 6, it was following Jesus for the wrong reasons. They wanted to see the sideshow. They wanted to see the miracles. And a preacher called it one time years ago, called them the hush puppies and fish crowd. I mean, Jesus fed them, fed 5,000 people. They got up the next day and they went to hunt Jesus. He said they weren't looking for miracles. They weren't looking at him because he was God. They went looking for him because their belly got full and they wanted something else to eat. Their motives were completely wrong of why they were following Christ. I may ask you later, but make sure your motives are right for why that you follow Christ. Boy, some people follow Christ for the now and now. Now, my sister Myra sang a little while ago about the sweet by and by come morning. But we live so for the now and now. That's why they couldn't understand the message of the bread of life. It was they were looking at now. They were looking at their physical beings. But Jesus talked about eternal things and spiritual things. And that's what we live for. We don't live for today. We live for forever. Amen. But then some had some conflict, I'll say this, with their fellows. I was looking at this and I noticed when Jesus made that great statement in verse number 50 that he said, I'm the living bread which come down from heaven. He made that statement. It upset that crowd. They became upset with him in verse 52, but it looks like they become upset with each other. The Bible says the Jews therefore strove among themselves. They were fussing and fighting among one another. You know, I can have conflict with the devil. I can have conflict with myself, but I can have conflict with you. And you can have conflict with me. Boy, it's amazing how conflicts can arise. Sometimes it's a real thing. And you know, the funny thing is, everybody's right. Everybody's right. And they're sincere in that. They really think they're right. But I want to tell you, in a conflict, you know what you do in a conflict? When you got a conflict with a brother or sister, don't quit. Don't quit. Let me say this. Don't attack. You know what the ultimate goal is? For Jesus to be right. That's the ultimate goal. It's for the name of Christ to be exalted. It ain't for me to be right. If it ain't for me to come out looking good, it's for Jesus to come out looking good. Hey, I want to tell you, there's no place. You know what'll happen if we keep fighting? Well, somebody's going to leave. Somebody's going to quit. And so I tell you, man, let peace. I'm glad that God gives peace. Walk together in unity for God, Christ's honor, and for His glory. Amen. But some have conflict with the faith. And I keep going back to our text and our context. Jesus had laid this. He was put, I'm God. I am the Lord. I am the bread. I am their Savior. And they could not deal with the truth. Jesus said in verse 64, for there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Some walked away. Why? They never were saved. They never were one of them. And boy, it's a truth we need to remember sometimes why people leave. 1 John chapter 2 says, they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, because they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I know I hit on that this morning. I may strike another lick on it tonight. Not every man that names the name of Christ is his. In Matthew chapter 7, he said, in that day there'll be men say, Lord, Lord, have we not done wonderful works in your name? Hey, I want to tell you, it's not about Christ rejecting you. It's not about Christ saying, I don't want you. It's all about where our heart was. It's all about whether we repented, whether we meant business with God. Not everybody that names the name of Christ is saved. Can I just say this, and I'm not trying to be mean, but man, I hear people say stuff, you know, I know they're saved, they still do drugs and they still do this and do that. No, no. Hey, you'll know them by their fruits. Listen, a sheep can go out and they can fall in a mud puddle and come out of it and get a little dirt on them. A sheep will do that. But a pig will lay down in it and stay there. I want to tell you, if you're out there and you're staying, listen, I don't want to get too far into that, but that's why some left. I say this, and examine yourself. I'm not after anybody, but I'll tell you, there's so many today. I said it this morning. Just be sure that you've got the goods. Be sure that you've got the real thing. That rich young ruler battled the truth. He came to Christ, said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus put the demands on him. The guy had so much self-righteousness. When Jesus put the demand, sell all you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me, the Bible says he went away. Boy, it's sad. He went away sorrowful because he was rich. But these people, I said already, they just didn't. It's one thing to reject my voice. It's another to reject Pastor Shelton's voice. But these men, these left, they rejected Christ's voice, the very words of God, and they walked out into eternity. The Bible says, I want to tell you, keep following the Lord. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But those who walked away, but you know, I'm glad that everybody didn't leave. He didn't say that everybody left that day after the message. He said that many walked away and walked no more with him. There was some that stayed. Look at those verses again. Then Jesus saith unto the 12, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why would these stay? Why would these? You got one group that abandons Christ, but you've got another group that attaches themselves to Christ. Why is it that somebody attaches themselves to Christ and spends their whole life living for the Lord and being faithful to the Lord? Well, the first thing I notice here would have to have something to do with where they had Christ's position. Look at the first word that Simon Peter said in response to the Lord when he asked if he'd go away. He said, Lord. I want to tell you, that speaks volumes. The reason people walk away and don't want to stay because they don't have Christ in that exalted position in your life. Those that stay have made him Lord. They've made him the supreme authority. They've made him the controller. They've made him the master and the owner of their life. They have realized, as 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your members. I want to tell you, they made him Lord. That's to say, I struggle. I'm up and down. I'm in and out. I really want to be faithful. I really want to have consistency in my life. Well, I want to tell you the way to get consistency is put him on the throne. Put him at that place of authority and supremacy of your life. I think about these disciples, these men. Peter's the one that was speaking. We can go back to Matthew chapter 4. The reason that we knew that they could stay with him, they'd already left left everything when he called them. In Matthew 4:20, the Bible says that they left their nets and they followed him. They turned their back on everything that day on the seashores of Galilee, and they followed him. These men had nothing to go back to. I know that after the Lord Jesus died, that Peter and those men, they decided that they were going to go fishing one more time. Peter tried. He went out on the boat that night. The Bible says they fished all night and they caught nothing. But Jesus called to them, "Have ye any meat?" You remember that? And Jesus taught Peter a great lesson. "Peter, you're not a fisherman anymore. You're a shepherd now." He said, "Your job is to feed my sheep." And I think about that. There is nothing to go back to. I don't know what you were before you got saved. I don't know what your habits were. I don't know who your friends were. I don't know who your language was. But I'll tell you what, when I got saved, I remember that day. Now listen, I wasn't wild. I wasn't steeped in sin. I was a church kid that was dying and going to hell. But I want to tell you, when I went back to Avery County High School the day after I got saved, God had cut some ties. Those fellowship days were over. I didn't do that. That was supernatural. Those words that used to come out of my mouth, they just didn't quite fit on my tongue anymore. Those things that used to make me want to tap my foot, brother, hey, I march to the beat of a different drum now. That stuff doesn't work anymore. I think, and I probably told this before, I'll illustrate it with this. I remember when I was, Carol and I, we hadn't been married a long time. I think Michael was born. But man, I was at a low spot in my life. I was just struggling. I don't know if I was battling depression. I don't know what was going on, but I was low. And boy, I remember trying to pray, and I just wanted to hear something from God. Really, I was trying to put God in the headlock and tell him how things are going to be. And I just couldn't hear. I just couldn't get it anywhere. And I decided that night, the reason that the Lord ain't talking to me is because I'm lost. That's why I decided. I was an ordained Baptist preacher and decided that night I was lost. And I said, the next day when I go to Valdez Textiles to work, I'm a lost man again. Well, you've heard that song. The best thing I ever did do was take off the old coat and put on the new. But boy, that night I tried to take off that coat and I tried to put that old coat back on that day. And I got to figuring out, once I got to walking around that plant and trying to be like a lost man, that coat didn't fit anymore. There wasn't nothing back there for me. God had made a change in my life. There's nothing there. Can I tell you this? You don't even have a home here anymore. When you got saved, God changed your conversation. He changed your walk. He changed your desires. Thank God he changed your citizenship. Hey, that's why we get excited a little bit when Myra sang that song a while ago. She's a singing about home. This is not my home. This is not. If you're walking with God and you're living for the Lord, you're going to feel like a square peg in a round hole when you try to fit in with this world. They had nothing to go back to. But you know, I believe they looked back to where Christ had brought them from. Look at those words. They said, "Thou hast the words of life." They remembered that day. I can imagine they'd come in from fishing. They're talking, doing their Hebrew, or what was that, Hebrew custom, whatever it is they did, and talking about their fish and plotting what they was going to do after a while. And somebody come walking up the shores that day. And he walked by them and he said, "Hey, you, follow me." And old Peter got up that day and he turned his back on the world and he followed him, and he never got over what the Lord did for him. He thought about those words. He said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." Those were life-changing words. But aren't you glad? I've alluded to this already, that when God saved you, he didn't leave you like he found you. Man, that's what I was trying to get away from. That's what I was trying to get. I didn't want to be that man anymore. But I'm glad God is in the life-changing business. Hey, they never forgot how God changed their lives. Hey, they remembered. You remember what it was on the bottom? You remember that craving for peace? You remember that guilt that overwhelmed you? You remember when your life was in tatters, when you felt like you didn't have a friend in the world, and Jesus came by and did something for you that nobody else could do? He come by your way, said, "Follow me." I want to tell you, that's words of life, wonderful words, beautiful words. What a great story. Aren't you glad that he came by your way? But I think about this, it wasn't just what he'd brought them from and where they had Christ's position. But I think about these men. Here they stand here with Christ. And they begin to watch this crowd walk away. And they begin to, I imagine Peter and those guys, they're turning and looking at each other. And where's everybody going? And then Jesus walks to them. Says, "You guys leaving too?" Well, I could see Peter's mind just coming to life. And he remembers Jesus coming by and calling him. And he remembers the day that he took him to the wedding. And they had run out of wine. And he remembered that day when Jesus said, "Fill him pots up. Fill him up. Now drink." And he turned the water to wine. It was just the day before that they had that multitude of 5,000 people. They needed something to eat. He said, "Give them to eat." They didn't have anything for them to eat. They found that little boy's lunch, and Jesus prayed over it, and he passed them out all a handful of it, and they had their little basket, they'd serve it, and they'd take some out, and they'd give this guy over here some bread and fish, and they'd give her some bread and fish, look back, and it's just as full as it was when they started. They had forgot where God had provided for them. They used too late to try to convince them. And Peter could tell story after story. I know chronologically this wouldn't fit, but if you ask Peter today why he had to stay, he said, "I remember that day the taxes were due." And he said, "Lord, what we're going to do?" He said, "Just go bait your hook." And I went out and I reeled that fish in, and there was a gold coin on that fish. He provided and he met that need. Hey, they remembered how he provided. They remembered his power over death and over disease. Just back a couple of chapters in chapter 5 when that nobleman had come to Christ and said, "My son's at the point of death." And Christ didn't go to the house. He just spoke the word. Yeah. They remembered that. They'd seen God touch. And you know, we can testify tonight, we've seen God change lives. What if we could give, I hope you can give testimony. I hope you've walked with the Lord to the point that there was nothing else you could do, where you had to be completely dependent on Him, that you've experienced some supernatural things in your life, they'd seen His provision, they'd seen these things. But you know something else? Just the night before, after the multitude had been sent away, Matthew's account tells us that Jesus compelled them to get into the ship and crossed to the other side. And as they got into the ship, a storm arose. And that night, in the midst of that storm, somebody came walking on the water and calm their storm. I want to tell you, I have come too far. I've been through one storm, one trial, too many. I don't know what happens in your storm, but my Lord, one that saved me and that I walk with, He can walk on the water. My Lord can calm the storm. He can do more than calm the storm. I think this is even more supernatural. He can calm me in the storm. I've come too far. I've seen too much. Those words, we believe and are sure. I believe. You hear me? I believe, and I'm sure, and I hope that that's your testimony tonight. But you know, we get to this point, and I think about this. What will you do? We've stood there at Capernaum. I don't know if it appears that they had followed him into a synagogue. So maybe it's a situation like this. I don't know where Jesus might have stood when he stood. "I am the bread of life." You could feel the tension rise. Who does he think he is? You could feel him rise, and you could hear the low voices coming up. You could hear the murmuring. "Did you hear what he said? Did you hear that?" And they see all the movement going on. You're in that place. The crowd starts to lead out. Where do you go? What do you do? Let me ask you, are you following Christ tonight? I know you're sitting on a church pew. So, Brother Tim, that's the most ridiculous thing I've heard. You're sitting on a church pew. Can I remind you that Judas was in this crowd? Judas was with the 12. He was sitting with them. He was standing with them. And his heart was with those that left. Are you following the Lord? Let me ask you, why are you following? So I'm here. Why are you here? Why are you here? Your mom, dad tie your arms, threaten to ground you for the rest of the month. You give me an attitude, get the house of God. Why are you here? Well, my wife won't hush and leave me alone. Well, why are you here? Well, that's all the friends I've got. Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad for that. But why are you here? Why are you following? You need to look back. You need to look to the Lord that your motive would be right. Let me ask you this. Why aren't you following? Why not? You need to look back again. One, have you forgotten what the Lord did for you? Have you forgotten all that? Have you forgotten how the mercies had, the provision in the storms? Have you forgotten that? Well, let me ask you this. Is it because you just not one of them? Or have you of that crowd that's heard the truth and just walking away? Have you got the goods? I'm going to tell you, man, you when you keep having that faraway look in your eye and that faraway tug in your eye and you're pulling more there and more, that you need to check. You need to see where your anchor's at. You need to see where your anchor is. See, this whole thing, this whole conflict, if Jesus was the bread, he was God and he was Lord. That's the whole conflict, that he is who he is. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to have control. Notice those words in verse 66. From that time. There was the line. This was the point. One crowd says, from this point, I ain't going no more. The other crowd says, from this point, I ain't leaving again. I have set my course. I've got it punched in, my Holy Ghost navigation, and that is where I'm heading. Boy, we need to realize tonight that there's nothing here for us. This place is all going to burn. Our reward is in heaven, and we need to follow. Don't follow by accident. It's going to be a deliberate choice. Now, I'll tell you what, everybody needs a starting place. If you're a child of God and you've just kind of been floating around, just by the wind, floating around on troubled waters, that's all it is. Boy, it'd be a good night for you to say, you know what? This is going to be my spot. This is going to be the night, no more. I'm taking my side. I'm going to follow him. When I get up in the morning, it's going to be a brand new day because he is getting made Lord tonight and he will be Lord tomorrow in my life. Some of you may have, there might be somebody tonight that struggled with their salvation. This could be your night. This could be the day that God has got the answer for you. Maybe he's shining, that's what's wrong. I'm trying to be something that I'm not. I'm literally playing the hypocrite because I ain't got the goods. Boy, what the sunrise could mean for you tomorrow. What God could do for you, will ye also go away. Father, I come to you tonight in Jesus' name, and I thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for liberty tonight. God, I pray that, Lord, you'll take what's been said tonight. You've already taken what's said. And God, you've challenged someone's heart. God, I wouldn't, Lord, with all my being, my desire is not to accuse or confuse somebody. But, oh God, my heart's desire is to warn and to encourage in this place tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would give the invitation. I pray you'd help folks to heed how the Spirit deals in their hearts tonight. Help folks just to be honest. Am I walking with the Lord or am I not? God, may that one, maybe they may keep just shrugging the doubts aside. May tonight they get down to business. Do I have the goods? And I pray, God, that your Spirit, God, would make that clear in hearts. I know that you are not the author of confusion. God, I'm glad you're the peace speaker. Now, Lord, you give this invitation tonight, and we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around but this preacher tonight. I just want to ask this. I want to make sure that there's somebody not in trouble tonight, somebody that's not in great turmoil. With nobody looking around but this preacher tonight, respect of this moment. There be one to say, Brother Tim, I'm not sure that I'm saved. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a visitor. It doesn't matter if you've been here as long as this church has been here. It doesn't matter if you're old or young, middle-aged. Would there be one to say, Brother Tim, I'm troubled. I'm just not sure. Would you pray for me? Anybody be honest enough? Anybody be honest enough, slip up that hand. You heard the challenge tonight. Are you following? Are you following the Lord like you need to be following tonight?